Y'all can be seated, amen. We're going to jump right in tonight. I'm going to get this ready up here. Y'all not in trouble. I don't usually bring a computer to the pulpit, but I've got some charts and I want to make sure I can see all of them. So y'all bear with me. Go ahead and to the book of Revelation, Brother Craig, this evening. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to start in Revelation chapter, let's start in chapter 5, beginning with the 8th verse. And I had a number of passages I wanted to get out here. Let me get in here. And I appreciate Brother Craig. We're going to bring up the, let's do this, Brother Craig, and then we'll bring up the seals. All right, here. Everybody okay? I won't be too lengthy. We're in good shape time-wise. I'm going to talk about, out of the book of Revelation, we're going to look at the seal judgment, the trumpet judgments. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry. My sound men were up there doing all this. I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all need your medicine or something there? Anyway, thank y'all. I appreciate it. Let's give those guys a great hand. Amen. We really appreciate it. That's a hard job. I tried to do it years ago and when I was at my home church, and that's a thankless job, but we thank and appreciate you. Let's look at Revelation. I'm not going to ask you to stand. We've got so many scriptures going to look at. We'll look at the scene that unfolds in the heavens at this time, and we're going to look at the seal judgment, the trumpet judgment, and the bowl judgments. And I hope this will be a blessing to you tonight. These are things that are going to happen. They've not happened. They've not already happened. I know people teach that a lot of the things in Revelation have already happened. Some of them are happening right now. Not necessarily so. That we understand that if the best chronological order, the way that we teach Revelation, as far as the way our denomination and our group, if you will, which is pretty much recognized by Orthodox Christianity, Baptist, Methodist, so forth and so on, Orthodox Christianity, looking at chapter 1 as history, chapter 2 and 3 as the present church age, and chapter 4 through the end of the book of Revelation as future events. And that will help you to understand the chronological order. So let's look at what's going on in the heavens here. Revelation chapter 5, I believe I'm going to start in verse 8. Okay, and then when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That means an innumerable number, a number that cannot be numbered, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb. Somebody say amen. That was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and they and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Aren't you glad that God gives us a peek? God gives us, through the writings of John the Revelator, he gives us a peek into what is going on into the heavenlies. We know that the cherubim, the seraphims fly around and cry, Holy, holy, holy. One of the greatest things that the church of the living God can do is when we get together is to lift our hands. Let's do it right now. Let's lift our hands and say, Oh, glory and honor belongs unto him. The Lamb is worthy of our praise. My goodness, my goodness. All right, let's get into to Revelation chapter 6. And understand now, if you're looking in the chronological order, after chapter 4, everything is future events. And here we see in chapter 6, we're going to look at, I'll read it from here, Craig. Pull me up the chart on the seven seals. Maybe we can get that up. Craig should have all this up. And we're going to look at the seven seals first before we do anything else. There we go. And now I'm glad I got my computer in front of me, because I would not be able to read on that. So let's look at Revelation chapter 6, beginning with the first verse, and then we'll see verse 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And remember, we just give you what was going on in the heavens. And behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him had a bow. Now he doesn't have any arrows, and this is significant. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. How many of you know that this is not Jesus Christ? This is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist coming on the scene, and he has a bow, but he doesn't have any arrow, and a crown has to be given to him. Amen. How many of you know none of us have to give Jesus a crown, because he's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Somebody say amen. And so there went out. So here we see the first seal, the Antichrist riding on the white horse, is given a crown, and he's gone out to conquer. This is Revelation signs, the beginning of this one of the seven seals. So I'm going to go. I've got a lot of material. I'm going to try to be done by at least 8:30 here. So we're going to go right on into the second seal, beginning with verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Here we see that peace is removed from the earth, and violence takes over. Now, I want you to understand something here. The church, we've talked about this, the church will be raptured before the tribulation takes place. That's plain. That's what we believe. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, and it's held, I believe, the test of time. So then when the church is taken out, every Christian, true Christian, is raptured and lifted off of planet Earth to go meet the Lord in the air. And the church as we know it won't be on the earth during the tribulation. Now, the Spirit of God will still be here. God the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. He can't be pulled out of somewhere. He's everywhere all the time. We know that souls will be saved during the tribulation. So here, we have to understand, the church is not the organism that's operating on planet Earth right now. Do you realize, and I brought this up in some of this Revelation teaching, what shape this world would be in if the church wasn't here? We are the restraining influence under the influence of the empowerment of the Holy Ghost of God, Spirit-filled believers having the Spirit of God. We are the restraining force of all that is evil and going on in the world today. But we're seeing now that the church is gone. We're out of here, beginning the starting of chapter 4, verse 1. He said immediately in chapter 4, verse 1, we won't go there, immediately after these things, after what? The rapture of the saints, of the church. So we're gone, and now in this second seal, the red horse rider is being pushed onto the scene, so to speak, and violence like we've never seen. I'm going to tell you something, Church of the Living God. God has placed men and women, teachers and preachers and evangelists, to warn people that if we're living in the last day, church, and we are responsible for this, that we're hearing that all of this that's going to happen is going to happen after we're gone. And it's like Sister Ellen was saying, you know, about saying, "I'm glad I don't have COVID. Glad you don't have COVID." I'm glad that the church is not going to be here when all of this takes place. But I'm telling you, we've got loved ones that are on the brink of being ushered into this right at any moment. And so this is going to happen. And I hope this will wake some of us up tonight. I'm not going to preach anything you've probably not heard before. So let's go now. So violence breaks out. Wars break out. It's going to be unlike anything that has ever been seen. So let's go to verses 5 and 6. The third seal. This is famine. And we had opened the third seal. I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." So, these beasts that live around the throne, that fly around the throne, they're issuing commands. They're not asking. In the original
text in the original Greek, the word and see is not there. It's just come. It's a command. It's not like come and see, come and look at this. It's come. It's go. It's a direct command. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so here we see the third seal. Famine is going to come on this earth, and it'll be, we've all seen these pictures of starving children in Africa and different places where they pull on our heartstrings. We've been involved in that, and I've done it over the years and been a part of churches that done it. It always breaks our heart. You're going to see in this, with this seal being loose, this third seal of famine, it will be a worldwide famine. It will affect everybody on the face of the earth. There will be a shortage of food. Now, we all realize, I'm going to say this just in case anybody hadn't heard this before, and I know you have. The mark of the beast doesn't show up until the middle part of the tribulation. Let's understand that. You're not going to see the mark of the beast. There's no need to worry about the mark of the beast. There's no need to worry about being tricked into taking it or anything, because we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here. So I'm trying to help you. So let's go now. Let's go to the fourth seal, Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given, now listen to this, over unto them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now I want you to see how serious this is going to get so quickly. You have famine, you have violence. The Antichrist has been, he's on the scene. And now the fourth seal here is death. This judgment is coming. This pale horse rider, this death that is being unleashed is going to take out at this point of the tribulation a fourth of the world's population. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want this to sink in. There are approximately, as of today, nearly 8 billion people on planet Earth. Now, I know that the church will be gone. I don't believe there's a billion born-again Christians on planet Earth. I hope there is. But I don't know that there are. But that's neither here nor there. But let's just keep the numbers easy for me. Math was never my strong point. I sat in the back of the class. There's 8 billion people on planet Earth. During the tribulation, during this part of the tribulation, there are going to be a fourth of those people, which will be 2 billion people, are going to die. There's only 325 million people in America. You see what I'm saying here? That during this part of it, there's more death and despair to come. But during this part of it, this particular fourth seal, this judgment of God, is going to unleash a catastrophic death upon this human race that has never, ever been seen. Can you imagine the logistics? And I'll get to this in the rest of it in a moment, of having to try to bury the people. Does anybody remember the Battle of Armageddon that's going to take place in the Valley of Jezreel? It says that for 200 miles, the blood will flow to the bridle of the horse. For 200 miles in the Valley of Jezreel in the Battle of Armageddon, there'll be so much blood. There'll be so much death. So 2 billion people die. People, we've got to sound the alarm. I'm telling you, I've never felt what I'm feeling in my ministry. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a preacher, a pastor. Try to teach some. I've evangelized a little bit, but I'm telling you, I'm feeling the call to be a watchman, to warn the people of God. And there is this thread going through so many ministries and so many people, men and women of God, getting is the God is trying to stir the ministers to say, get the people ready. This stuff is going to happen. This is not a horror movie. This is not the zombies or whatever people watch on television. This is not something, a fantasy. This is real. When this pale horse rider is unleashed, nearly 2 billion people are going to die. Can you imagine the carnage, the violence, and the bloodshed? People will kill with impunity. There'll be no more of this right here. They'll come in here, and if anybody trying to serve the Lord during this time and 2 billion people are going to be killed, they would come in and mow us down. We see that even with the church still here. Remember the shootings in Texas? 26 people shot. Another one where we instituted after that last church shooting, we instituted our security team. I never thought in all the years that I'd be pastoring that I would be surrounded by security that was armed. That's where we're at. Don't think we're not. Who would ever thought? But I'm telling you, during this time, it will be anybody trying to serve the Lord, anybody trying to get away from taking the mark of the beast, they'll be mowed down. Life will not mean a thing. Come on, church. School shootings that we saw up recently here in the last day or two, things like that are going to take place every single day. You're going to be blown away when I give you this statistic about how many people are going to die. And these are estimates that will die during the tribulation as far as every day. Let's go to the fifth seal, and I'll try to move through this a little quicker than I'm doing. I'll never get done through it. Revelation 6, I believe we're going to go now 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge and not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Here we see the martyrs, those that have been killed for Christ, that during the tribulation period. Somebody say, "Well, Brother Bateman, where do people get saved during the tribulation?" This is your proof right here that people are being killed and martyred during the tribulation, and the Lord is saying, "Hang on here. Not everybody that's been martyred is martyred yet." So there will be people saved and killed during the tribulation. This is the fifth seal. We'll move on to the sixth seal. Revelation 6:12. Begin reading. "And beheld, he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And when the heavens departed as a scroll, when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" The earth is quaking in the sixth seal. The sun is darkened. So when you lose the power of the sun, it will be colder than it's ever been. We lose the stars fall. The moon turns red. The sky recedes and folds up like a scroll. And here we see these words here. The people are saying to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us, crying for death. You realize people are dying everywhere around them, and then the judgment, these seals of judgment are opening, and God is pouring out his wrath. Let me tell you something. Every wicked person is going to get what's coming to them. And I'm going to tell you something. Aren't you glad that God extended his mercy and grace to us? Amen. That we won't have to face this. We don't take pleasure in this. But God, we are not without excuse. I remember being pulled I was a young man. I got pulled into the patrolman or the cop, the policeman, I don't remember who it was, and he said, don't you know what the speed limit is? I said, no, and I really didn't. He said, well, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And I thought, well, I ain't never thought about it like that. And I'm going to tell you, ignorance of the Word of God is no excuse. I'm telling you that I am feeling this compulsion to warn people that we're living in the last of the last. These things are going to come on the earth. And woe unto those people that are left behind. Maybe God is having me to preach this because I'm praying that God, I pray this nearly daily. Try to remember to pray this. God, give me a urgency and a compassion for souls like I've never experienced as a Christian and as a pastor. Why? Because this right here is coming, church. It is coming just as sure as you're sitting on these seats. Would somebody help me and say amen? The seventh seal.
I don't, that is not the way he's got this written. I'm not, this, the, I'm gonna, let me just, let me, that's not the right chart. I got the wrong chart, but that's okay. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And let me see. I'm going to go. Let's go ahead on to the trumpet judgments in verse 8 and 7. We're going to look at, now those are the seven seals of God during Revelation. Now we're going to look at the seven trumpet judgments. So if you'll go with me to the other one, Brother Craig, seven trumpets, not the bowls. Give me 1 second to get over there. Okay. Revelation 8 and 7. Now the seven trumpet judgment. We've looked at the seven seals. Now we're looking at this, the seven trumpets. In verse, let's start off in verse 7. And seven angels, 8 verses 7, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first trumpet here in verse 7. The first angel sounded. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Here we see now judgment of God is continued. You think it's worse, you think it's terrible now, it just keeps getting worse and worse. People, we have to warn those. Bible says to compel them, go in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you've compelled somebody to come to church? When's the last time you've compelled somebody to say, I'm concerned about your soul? When's the last time that you've looked somebody in the eye with tears rolling down your face and say, I'm praying for you. I don't want you to be left behind. I don't want you to miss out on God. You know, one of the hardest things that I have found, and it's not as bad as it used to be for me, but when I go to family reunions or I'm around my family at holidays, I have some family members that are very hard. And I don't know about you, but family members sometimes are the hardest ones to talk to. We can't let the enemy trick us. We have an opportunity to get together with people, whether it's in families, whether it's in the store, whether it's on our job. Let's be a witness for Jesus Christ. Come on and say amen. So let's look at the second trumpet now, verses 8 and 9. Let's just read verse 9 and 8, I'm sorry. And the second angel sounded as it was a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. It didn't say it becomes as blood, it becomes blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Let's go to the third trumpet. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were as a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, many people have scoffed at this idea. This wormwood star falls from heaven and it somehow contaminates the water. And I've often thought, how is that going to work? Not that I ever doubted it. I don't doubt anything in the Word of God. But do you realize there is a underground system of water
that runs throughout our entire planet. You ever thought about that? And they, scientists and geologists, have almost universally accepted. Now, again, this is, you know, nobody can get in there, but many believe that the springs, the start of all the underground waters that we have that flow underneath the ground, its origins are in the South Pole or the Antarctic. And when my granddaddy built a house in Williamston, he had a man that I graduated with come and dig a well behind the house. When I was talking to him, the well is a deep water well. I think it goes down about 300 feet. And according to this man who digs wells for a living, he says there is a gigantic aquifer that runs right through behind my grandfather's property there. And it's right behind the Hitch and Post restaurant, by the way. So it's right in there. My mother lives there now at that home. And it's some of the most delicious water that I have ever drank in my life. It doesn't taste anything like Dasani. Sorry, Coke. It doesn't taste anything like Deer Park. It is so far and above any kind of bottled water. It just is delicious. That water, if the scientists and the geologists are correct, all that water that flows all the way from that behind my mom's house, that water somehow has its origins all the way in the South Pole. Wouldn't it be amazing that God just sent this wormwood and just sent it right straight in from heaven, right down into the very starting point of all the fresh water? Anybody got a well? Anybody still use a well? Well, that water is flowing, and during this time, the water is going to turn bitter. During this time, God's going to poison the water supply. And do you realize, again, I wish I could preach this or teach this like I feel it. There's death and destruction. The third of the waters become blood. The sun is darkened. It's cold. It's freezing. Men are crying for the rocks to fall out. The judgments of God are just coming on every side. And it keeps getting worse. And it keeps getting worse. And it keeps getting worse. Now, let's look at 8 and 12, the trumpet number 4, 8 verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, third part of the stars, so the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, listen, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and the three angels which are yet to sound. The fifth trumpet. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, either green tree, nor any green thing, nor any tree, only those men who have not the seal of God in their forehead. Isn't that a beautiful picture that these locust beasts, demonic forces out of the pits of hell, still in the worst time, the 70th week of Daniel, the worst time ever in the world, God still will protect those that has his seal on their forehead. Somebody say amen. And it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And the rest of the people, not the people with the forehead that's been sealed by God. He said, unto them that they was given to kill, not kill the rest of the people, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. There's a lot of speculation. I'll stop here for just a few moments here. We're good on time. Everybody take a deep breath. I know it's a lot of material. There's a lot of speculation that this is a military or an army. I'm of the persuasion that it's an actual 200 million demon locust, demonic locust beings that are loose from the very pits. Some believe that it's going to be a 200 million army from China. There's different military connotations to this. That's up for debate. You listen to different prophecy speakers and preachers, and I'm not one. I'm just giving you prophetic word tonight. But there's a lot of, you know, disagreement about what this means. I personally believe that these are a horde of demonic beings that are going to rain havoc all over the world. And in verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had the hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and they had power was to hurt men 5 months. And for 5 months, these demon, locust, hateful beings will torment men for 5 months, and men will try to kill themselves. And the Bible said death will flee. I don't understand that. It's hard for me. I believe that during that time, there will be people that will try to kill themselves, whether it's with a gun or a knife or do something, and they will not be able to die, because the word of the Lord said in verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This is the most horrific time that this world is ever going to face. If I can say anything, thank you, God, that I'm not going to be here. Somebody say amen. They had tails like unto scorpions, stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Here we go with the sixth trumpet now. The sixth trumpet. Here it speaks now of a literal, possibly a literal 200 million men army. Again, I'm just giving you the way that I've been taught and the way that I personally believe. And it says, a sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose. So these angels obviously are not good angels. They've been held. They've been bound. So they're demonic angels. And the four angels were loose, and they were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. Now I want to stop. I've just got a little bit more, and we'll be done. Remember when I said that we look back in Revelation 6 and verse 8, that a fourth part of the world, of the population, would be killed, a fourth part. So that was nearly 2 billion people. And now here we're looking at that now to slay, in verse 9, to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them, and I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Here, again, maybe a connotation to a great army. Again, that is subjective. But by these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which was issued out of their mouth. So we've already lost 2 billion people, if the math is correct. A quarter of the population, remember, a quarter of the population has already been wiped out. Now another third of a people now is being wiped out. So you're almost a third, I'm not good at math, but you've had a quarter now and a third of those that are left. You're looking at half, possibly, if the math is correct, and this, you know what, this is the way that I understand it and research it, that over half the people on planet Earth are going to die during this time frame. Now, I want you to think about that. And according If 4 billion people die during the tribulation, 4 billion people die, that will be an average of over 2 to 3 million people a day during the tribulation. Now, you thought we had a lot of funerals here in the last few months. Can you imagine nearly 2-3 million people a day dying during the tribulation? It will be unimaginable. They will not be able to bury the dead. People will be lying around rotting corpses everywhere. Then you see that this 200 million men army, many scholars believe that the Euphrates obviously is going to be dried up, will allow the Chinese army, which can equip a 200 million man army. There are 1.3 or 1.2 billion Chinese people in the world. And so they believe that that army will come and be a part of the battle of Armageddon at the end. It's very possible. We'll just leave that again for teaching. But 2 to 3 million people a day dying during the tribulation. People, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't think you want to be here. And not most importantly, I don't think your family, you don't want your family here. Verse 7, trumpet number 7, Revelation 11. Let me just, I don't know if I only got time to read all this, 15. I know this is a lot, and I appreciate you enduring this with me. The seventh trumpet. The seventh angel sounded. I'm in Revelation, for those keeping up, 11, chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded. There was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God in their, on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. I'm going to tell you right now, whether you're quiet or whether you're loud like I am, whether you are introverted or extroverted, you're going to worship God when you get there. Would somebody say amen? I'm going to worship him now. I'm going to praise him now. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm God's been too good to me, y'all. Verse 17, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and was art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And then the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants and the prophets and to the saints and great that fear thy name, and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in the heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightnings, voices, and thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail." Now, that's the end of that. The kingdom of God is declared with the seventh trumpet. Let's now go to the bowl judgment, and you'll give me about 5 more minutes, and I'll be done. These are, okay, help me out here. You got them up, brother. I don't know if I, there we go. All right. Let's go to Revelation chapter 16. I've got, we just a few more minutes. Everybody okay? All right, y'all. I don't know if y'all to fall asleep on me here. Revelation chapter 16. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way." This is the bowl judgment or the vial judgment. V-I-A-L, meaning the same thing. "Pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image." Here we see sores upon those who've accepted the mark of the beast, the second bowl, the second vial. "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man." Now, let's stop. You have blood pulled. I hate it when I go get my physical and they get all those vials of blood. I've only been hospitalized one time in my life, and that was last year for one day or day and a half. So I've never been in the hospital. And they were poking and prodding and coming in, and, you know, and those of you who've had a hospital stay, you know what I'm meaning. They were coming in. "We need to get blood. We need blood. We need blood for this." And when they get that blood out, it's very red. It's very vibrant looking. Here, when you see this this second bowl judgment here, it said it became as the blood of a dead man. What does blood do after it's been out a while? It clots up. And so what you're seeing here is this, that during this, the sea is going to become as the blood of a dead. It's going to be clotted. It'll be rotten. It'll be nasty. This is what is. This is part of the judgment. Men are going to. This is what they'll have to drink. It becomes as the blood of a dead man. So it's not when you think, oh, this vibrant red blood they've got in this tube. That's not what it's talking about. It's the blood of a dead man, a clotted, rotting, rotten mess. And every living soul died in the sea. The third bowl of judgment. And the third angel pulled out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters. Remember the fountains again where it starts at. And they became blood. And I heard the angel of the Lord say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast, and thou shalt be, for thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. The fourth bow of the wrath of God. Mankind is going to be scorched by the heat. And the fourth angel pulled out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. You would think that this would cause people to cry out to God, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think it would? The sun is scorching them now. And instead of crying out and saying, God, have mercy, they have cried. They are now blaspheming God, which have power over these plagues in verse 9. And they repented not to give him glory. The fifth vial of wrath. And the angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And the kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. And again, blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Wicked man goes further and further and further down. I know when before I became a Christian, I said, you know, God, if I missed it, I know this is crazy. I said, if I miss the rapture, I'll get right in the tribulation. That was my mind. That was my plan. But won't that dumb, y'all? That was a dumb plan. I'll get right during the tribulation. Let me tell you something. And I had many a preacher. I've heard this. This is not original. If you can't serve God now under grace, which is freely given, his mercy, his grace, and the power of the Spirit and the church on planet Earth, and things are reasonably well. Nobody's facing any of this right now. Nothing has ever come on the earth. This is called the time of Jacob's trouble, a time like has never been seen. You tell me how people are going to serve God. Yes, there will be some saved. But I don't want to take that chance, people of God. Let me finish up here. Repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel pulled out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters were dried up in the way of the kings of the east. I mentioned that already in prophetic concerning the Chinese army possibly coming through where the Euphrates River was. Verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole earth to gather them to the battle of that grave. Behold, great day of God Almighty. Behold, he said, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and lest they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The seventh vial. And we'll close. Sister Ellen, you mind coming back? I want to pray with our people, and I want to get that prayer cloth for Sister Brenda tonight. I want us to come and pray together. I think it would be a mistake not to come together as the people of God to close this service out, knowing that this great wrath is going to be poured out on a lost and a dying world. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her under the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, around 75 pounds according to what a Hebrew talent was. Earth is shaken. Hail is falling. 75-pound hail is falling from heaven. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. I want you to stand. I want us to bow our heads.